Welcome to the World Service Conference of 2020 Virtual Fellowship Day. My name is Rudy C. and I'm a compulsive debtor. The topic for this workshop is Traditions 1, 2, and 3. Our first speaker will be Shauna. Shauna?
Thank you. My name is Shauna A. and I'm a compulsive debtor. I have not incurred any new unsecured debt since 2010. My home meeting is Tuesday, 7 a.m., Brooklyn, New York, Sunrise Visions. And I'm speaking on Tradition 1, Unity. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon DA unity. I remember when I came into the program 25 years ago, completely hopeless, hysterical, anxious, afraid, and wanting to kill myself because I saw no way out of the mess that I had created. I was $125,000 in debt. I was a single mother with a six-year-old daughter. We were homeless, and it looked bleak. It looked really bleak to me. Thank God that I was a member of a church community because I knew someone there that was in the beverage program, and I said, I'm not an alcoholic, but I need help. Do you have anything to recommend? And he said, yes, there is actually a program that deals with money, and it's called Debtors Anonymous. Of course, I had never heard about it, but I am so glad that it is there. And because I and my fellows live in New York City, we have an abundance of meetings so that I didn't have to wait any time Sunday night. I ended up going to my first DA meeting. Not only were the face-to-face meetings helpful, where I got an interim sponsor, I was encouraged to make phone calls, there was abundance of literature, but I was able to say honestly what situation I was in. I was heard, I was listened to, I wasn't judged, and I was supported. And this was probably the first place that I felt like I was at home. And I was able to find a meeting and to find a robust fellowship because not only that John H. was from New York and started a DA meeting here, but there were meetings in all five boroughs, throughout New York State, throughout the country. And as I found when I was traveling, when I finally got a job and was had to travel for my work, I found meetings that were welcoming and actually would ask me to share my strength, hope, and experience. When I would go to meetings, I went to Rome, I went to London, I went to Dublin, and each place there were groups of DA members that were available to me. And that was such a blessing. And so this tradition about our common welfare should come first is talking about how do we keep the DA fellowship thriving and growing so it's there for every single person who needs it. And you know, our mission in DA, the primary purpose is threefold: to stop incurring unsecured debt, to share our experience with the newcomer, and to reach out to other debtors. And we have, from the local level to the regional level, through intergroup and general service, through the National and International World Service Conference, we have ways to strengthen our own recovery and to give service so that other people will find DA when they need to reach out for it. And I've been able to use, I think, every one of the tools, but when we talk about how do we keep our program strong first, that we use the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, because it is a disease that has a spiritual solution. And we all agree. We may not agree about, you know, what our conception of a higher power is or how we're going to work the steps with our sponsor, but we all agree that in order to be solvent, we need to work the steps. And so I have worked the steps a number of times in different ways, but it always gives me insight into how I can strengthen my own personal relationships and my own recovery, because I want to practice these principles in all my affairs.
5 minutes. That's 5 minutes.
So in addition to the 12 and 12, we have all this wonderful conference approved literature. And I've been in for 25 years. So I've seen an enormous number of pamphlets. And then we're going to have the big book developed. We have the 12, 12 and 12. We have the second edition of Currency of Hope. All of these things help strengthen our entire fellowship. And I want to talk about only having conference approved literature at DA meetings, because we want to send a unified message to people that this is what DA is and this is how DA can help you. And you'll hear that message at every meeting that you go to, so that we're not concerned with outside issues. We are concerned with helping the person who is still deading and who has never heard of DA. One of the things that is so important is this World Service Conference, because we come together to make decisions that are going to benefit DA as a whole. That doesn't mean that it controls anything about our individual groups. One example is that in my home group, we decided that with the literature, especially the 12 steps and 12 traditions that we read each time at the beginning of the meeting, we would use gender neutral words. And people felt very strongly about that, and we voted to do it, and we can do that in our meeting. I know it's still something that the GS Service Board and the World Service Conference is talking about, because we are now, with all of our new literature, using gender neutral words. But because we had taken the 12 steps and 12 traditions from AA, we're still deciding what we should do. But remember, AA was from the 1930s, and this is almost 100 years later, so things change. And we are able to change with it, but as long as it doesn't affect DA as a whole or split the message. And I think a good example of this are our business meetings, because unity doesn't mean uniformity. It doesn't mean that we're all going to look alike or think alike or have the same beliefs. We're going to have different ideas, even in terms of how long the meeting should be or what the format should be. But we know that it's important to have a strong meeting. So we take inventory. We have business meetings where people are respectful and where the group conscience is what we abide by. And we listen to minority opinions. So we're not squashing anybody in order to get this conscious unanimity, which I believe is coming directly from our higher power. One of the sentences that I took, which I thought was really wonderful, is when we work together in unified purpose, recovery is available to each of us. When we fail to do so, the recovery of every one of us is threatened. That comes directly from tradition 3 in our 12, 12, and 12. I can't tell you how important it has been for me to serve as a general service rep and come to the World Service Conference. I have been on the Hospitals, Institutions, and Prisons Committee because I have had friends and relatives that were incarcerated, that were in mental institutions, that killed themselves because of overwhelming financial debt, and that have been in hospitals. So this is a way that I can give back so that I strengthen my program and help DA strengthen itself by reaching out to the newcomer and other debtors. So I'm very, very grateful to be a part of Debtors Anonymous and to be able to carry this message. Thank you.
Thank you, Shauna. Our next speaker will be Chris W.
Hi, everyone. I'm so grateful to be here today. Thank you, Shauna, for talking about Tradition 1. And My name is Chris. I am a compulsive debtor. I haven't incurred any new unsecured debt since January 12, 2013. And my home meeting is the 7 a.m. just for this day phone meeting. So Shauna talked to us about tradition one, or common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon DA unity. And tradition two is for our group purpose. There is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Wow. I believe for myself that this tradition two, it fosters the unity of tradition one. And I saw that when I came into DA. I didn't know what I was seeing, but I saw it. I went to my first meeting because I felt like I was on the inside of a grease tube and I couldn't stop the dollars. I couldn't stop the outflow of my money. I couldn't keep track of it. I didn't keep track of it. I thought I should be smart enough to keep track of it. I was out of control. I had tremendous anxiety. I didn't know how much I earned. I didn't know how much I needed to live. I just didn't know. I think they call it vagueness. I didn't know. I got to witness in my first meeting, people shared their experience, strength, and hope. And I got to witness someone saying, you know, I came here and you guys told me to cut up my credit cards. So I cut up my credit cards. The first thing I did that night was I went home and I cut up my credit cards. Sick to my stomach. I didn't like doing it. I thought, what the heck am I doing? Do I really want to go? Oh my gosh. And for me, it was like a shift in the universe. Things opened up for me. I haven't had to use a credit card since May of 1999, and that's a miracle. Now, that's not my solvency date, but that's the last time I used a credit card, and the doors were open to me for this path of recovery, as Shauna said, through the steps, through the fellowship, through this program, this nurturing, giving, loving program of recovery. I had no idea how to take care of myself. I knew how to take care of you. I didn't know how to take care of me. I did ridiculous things with money. I went to go on a vacation one year, and a friend of mine said, oh, I don't know if I have enough money. And I said, oh, here, I can help you. Well, I didn't know if I had enough money. Oh my goodness. Anyway, the other morning I was in the hospitality room and I heard a member say, she said, and I quote, we learn to trust that the group has a higher power. We learn to trust. Well, that's something that came to me through working the steps in my own individual recovery and going into a meeting and learning, as it says in this tradition, that I really don't know what's best for you or any other debtor. I don't really know what's best for the group. All I can do is share my own experience, strength, and hope and opinion. But for me today, these opinions have to be stay based in these traditions and the concepts. And they talk about, you know, our trusted servants, they do not govern. Oh my gosh. That took me to concept nine. And I was lucky enough to do both a tradition and a concept study with members of Debtors Anonymous. And when I turned to concept nine, they talk about, I'm just gonna read in the margins my scribblings, and they talk about being a good leader is open, willing to explain their actions. They're prudent, they're humble, they have a sense of humor, a sense of charity, they forgive, love, faith, hope. All of this leads to unity. It's quoted in concept nine, our strength is in our unity. also in concept 9, it says experience leads to strength and hope. When I first started going to business meetings, I had no hope that you all knew what you were doing, and I certainly didn't trust that it was all going to come out for the good. I had to go to business meeting after business meeting. Thanks, Gabriella.
Four and a half minutes. I'm sorry, I was so intrigued.
Perfect, thank you. Anyway, that I it came to be. You know, my trust came to be. It didn't happen from me having blind faith. I had to come here and see this process in action. I had to come here and focus on the miracles that I saw happening that were coming out of our business meetings. You know, it talks about that we go to these business meetings to be responsible for our own recovery. I learned a lot of that there. I learned that I can have a voice. I don't always have a voice. It's a very difficult for me to do, to raise my hand and say, I think, but I do have a voice today. In this tradition, it talks about rotation of service. And that just is one of the many things that it taught. Oh, the humility. Oh my gosh. None of this stuff is natural to me. I've been able to watch myself get into a group conscience or a business meeting and just be defiant in that I wanted my way. I wanted you to do what I thought was best for this meeting, and sometimes had to get up and leave the room to eat something to stuff down my anger that you guys weren't doing what I thought you should do. But today I truly do believe that we have a loving higher power in our group conscience. And in tradition too, it talks about there's one word that we describe our higher power with, and that is loving. And that's a quote. How do we describe the higher power that guides our group conscience? With one word, loving. My ego gets triggered by my fear that this blessed fellowship that has given me so much peace. I have peace today around money, about so many much of my life because of Debtors Anonymous, that my ego can get triggered. But please, God, always bring me back. Always please bring me back to this these blessed traditions that protect Debtors Anonymous from me. I just want to read the closing paragraph of Tradition 2. And it says, when, as tradition invites us to do, we speak with love, listen with openness and humility, maintain clarity, and advocate for the group's greatest good without needing to dominate and without being attached to outcomes, we are honoring the wisdom of a power greater than ourselves. This is the true spirit of group conscience. When we attend with responsibility to the needs of the group, as an essential part of attending to our individual recovery, we are helping to ensure that Debtors Anonymous remains available to the next compulsive debtor seeking the help. This is the true spirit of service. And I pass. Thank you all for being here. I'm so grateful to you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. And our third speaker is Siobhan.
Hi, my name's Siobhan. I'm a compulsive debtor, and I'm thrilled Siobhan. To be here today. It was so good to hear Shauna and Chris, just so moving. So I'm gonna talk to you about Tradition 3, but I just wanna start by reading the third step prayer. Came to me to do this. Higher power, I stand before you, ready to be transformed. I place myself in your hands. Guide me on my recovery path. Remove my compulsive debting, my self-centered fear, and my own self-will. May I shine to others as a beacon of your power. May I choose to remain on your path always. I love that prayer, and just relating it to Tradition 3 and the two traditions we heard so far, just gives me a big shiver. So just a little bit about me before I dig in to tradition three. I came into the program in April 2011. I was also desperate, somewhat suicidal. I had $72,000 worth of debt, and I was pretty sure that that was never going to get solved, hence the feeling suicidal. And, you know, that everything was just closing in on me. I had a big piece of tax debt for the first time ever. I couldn't pay my rent again. The last credit card I took out was to pay my rent in April 2011. And it was just, I became so desperate that I finally went to DA. I knew about DA for about 7 years, but I couldn't bring myself. And I always remember that right timing and my timing, and this definitely relates to our tradition, you know, comes from a higher power, and that, you know, I have to be ready to be willing. And nobody can do that for me. That comes between me and my higher power. So that was the day for me. I stopped using credit cards. I thought, well, let's, you know, just see what happens. I probably won't die. And then I finally got my first PRG in December 2011, and they encouraged me to do a moratorium. So I began my financial amends. I also joined a group that was very focused on doing the tools of DA. And by the grace of God, I've been solvent since that time. That was since January 15th, 2012. I don't believe it's because of me. I believe it's because that I'm so willing that I do all the parts of the program. And it's so amazing. And I know so many wonderful people, including people on this meeting. So I did all the things. I did the steps with a wonderful sponsor. I did the tools. But the thing that has always been the most thrilling for me, most wonderful for me, has been my service positions. And, I at the meeting level, I was literature chair, treasurer, lots of different things, business chair. But again, the most exciting thing was becoming a GSR in 2013. Nobody else was willing to do it. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And that started me maintaining my solvency in order to do my service. It was really magical that way. And so I remember my first year as GSR. It was just so thrilling. I was so excited for anybody here for the first year and this experience. And the fact that we've been able to make an experience even though we couldn't be together in person. I was GSR for 3 years, but this past year I've been on the host committee for this group, and just to witness the work that everyone's doing and to witness that transition, you know, dynamite fast transition from we're having a face-to-face meeting to we're having a virtual meeting was just astonishing. It really is the power of the individual groups and the group as a whole. And like I said, it's been such an honor. I can't, to anybody who's on the call who hasn't done World Service, I cannot recommend it enough. Dive in as soon as you can. Also, just so you know, I've also been an appointed committee member for the General Service Board's Public Information Committee for the past 4 years. And one of the things I've done there is to lead the media contact training. So the best thing about leading the media contact training is that I've been learning more and more about the traditions. And also I've been in a traditions workshop this spring with many fellows on the host.
5 minutes.
And that's been incredible. So this is all such a gift to me, but what I was so struck by in studying tradition three today, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop incurring unsecured debt. The only requirement for DA membership is a desire to stop incurring unsecured debt. So let's look at it from the end to the beginning. So from the end, DA had to figure out as a group as a whole in 1968 to 1971, what was the thing that we were putting down? And eventually they were able to identify to not incur debt, unsecured debt one day at a time. So to have solvency. And So if you want to read about that, just go read the history of DA. You can just search for that on our website and you get to read that. It's not long yet, but it's really good. And then that was like a key thing, right? And then the next thing, if we step back, we hear the word desire. So the only requirement for DA membership is a desire. You don't have to be deading, honestly. It can be anything where you feel that you want to not incur unsecured debt, whatever situation you're in. And this is so profound that people get to choose whether they belong in this program based on their own experience. Not because I said that you could come through the door. I can't think of any other groups in the world that I know of where there's not some kind of membership hurdle besides 12-step groups. It's really incredible. And as a person who's done a lot of service, this has helped me grow as a leader because I can't decide for somebody else whether they should be in DA. I can't decide whether they're going to succeed. All of this is talked about in Tradition 3. I can't decide what their race should be. I mean, here's a beautiful quote. We don't have all the inclusive language yet, but we do have this. We as groups work to be inclusive and not judge anyone on the basis of race, ethnicity, age, sex, sexual or gender orientation, ability or disability, religion or lack of religion, politics, socioeconomic status, and other such factors. I mean, that just gives me such a thrill that I'm part of an organization like that. And I keep growing because they let me in wherever I was in my recovery. And now it's my job to let in the newcomer and be there for them. So leaders do not govern. And then the other thing I wanted to share is one of my favorite sentences in this tradition is that the desire to be in this fellowship is necessary. You have to have the desire, and it's also sufficient, like end of story. Nobody's timing you on how fast you quote unquote recover or whether you had another debt. The program and this tradition is just one of these, you know, grows to fit the members. But they do say also that in this, there's another quote I wanted to give you. Our desire brings us to the table of DA, where we can find the necessary willingness to recover. So as long as it took me to move into recovery, that was how long I had. And I have to always remember to give
1 minute.
So, and then another sentence I wanted to share, a quote from the chapter is, we work to ensure that our groups do not give anyone the impression that there is anything, that there are any other qualifications for membership. So if I would be sitting in the, you know, a chair speaking and I would be talking about things that were outside the fellowship or I said, you know, you have to work the 12 steps within the first 6 months or you're not gonna go anywhere or some ridiculous thing like this. If I wasn't guided not to do that, then I could be pushing people away. I will wind up and just say the last sentence I wanted to share was, in this fellowship, we do not adopt policies that supersede the third tradition. And that tradition is the only requirement for DA membership is a desire to stop incurring unsecured debt. Thank you all for letting me speak.
Thank you, Siobhan. Thank you, all three of you. Wonderful job.